Well, I'm not going to be quiet very long. I feel like we are supposed to offer up a shout. All right, can we do that? Let's shout to the Lord. Hallelujah! Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. The word says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord for the voice of triumph. Amen. I believe we're supposed to triumph today. What do you think? Amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. This is a very familiar portion of Scripture. And I hope I do it justice. One other announcement I didn't tell Dale about, but that Christmas play starts at, it's an evening service, starts at 6 o'clock at night. And then if you are going to be alone on Christmas Day, I believe we're going to have a dinner up here about, let's say 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For those that will be by yourself, we do not want you to be at home. And Treva and I are here for the holiday, so we want to just have dinner with you. Amen. Text me if you're coming. I need to know if 13 are going to show up or if 80 is going to show up. So it's going to make a difference. And it will be a potluck, and we'll try to bake some turkeys or hams or something. But you can definitely bring some sides. Amen. I titled this sermon, Standing for God in a World Full of Idolatry. Standing for God in a World Full of Idolatry. Now, while Paul, we're in chapter 17, starting with verse 16, says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicureans and Stoic philosophers encountered them, and said, some, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seemed to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. That's not a compliment, by the way. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to, all life, breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, for we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this to all, raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, the others with them. Jesus, we just come before you today on a remarkable passage of Scripture that so mightily compares with the world in which we live. God, I pray, Lord, that our ears would be open to what the Spirit of the Lord has for us, to hear His voice and not the voice of just a man. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, touch us in a way that it leaves an indelible mark on our life so that we'll never be the same. God, I pray today, Lord, even as believers, Lord, that we would do some soul searching today, and the Holy Spirit would expose some things for us. And God, have your way in this service. But Lord, help us not to sit here and think this is about someone else. Let us hear the Spirit of the Lord and what He has to say for each individual that's here. God, you didn't prepare this service for the rest of America. You prepared this sermon for those in this building right here, right now. So Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted you to notice first thing that he met in the synagogues, and he was speaking to the Jews, and he was speaking to the Gentiles, the Gentile worshipers. Did you catch that? He was speaking to the Gentile worshipers daily. Now, this passage of scripture moves quickly in our minds to what we would call the more important things, but I don't want you to forget that daily he was ministering to people like you and me, the worshipers of God. And so the Bible says that when he entered the city, so he goes in to Athens, Greece, right? And this is like the foremost city of the world for philosophers, but it's given over to idols. And the Bible says that his spirit was provoked in him. And I don't want you to move past that. I want you to know that still happens today. If you are a believer, you have this treasure in this earthen vessels, according to 2 Corinthians 4:7. That treasure is the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit inside of you will be provoked and you won't even know why. You'll just know that something's wrong in the place, right? I remember years ago, we had a lady that came to our church one Sunday. Never came back, but she came one Sunday. We deemed her the cat woman, and because she had scratches all up and down her arms. But I remember when I passed by her in the hallway, I think I greeted her. I remember the hair on the back of my neck standing up. And it was like, whoa, something's wrong in Denmark here. I mean, this is a little crazy. And as we got into the service and stuff, it was obvious that this woman was demonic and had a demonic spirit inside of her. And so it's funny because Treva's dad pastored in Bloomfield, Missouri, which is about 2 hours away, and she was in his church the week before. Now, we didn't discuss that, but when we were talking to him on the phone, we said, hey, there was this lady here. And he said, what'd she look like? And I started describing her. He said, she was in my church last week. Isn't it funny how Satan will visit the church? But don't you think in a way he was trying, or something was in her, was trying to get her into the presence of God? Right? So be cognizant that the Spirit of God within you can be grieved, can be provoked, can be shaking you up just a little bit, right? So he understood that. As they spoke about peace, one of my favorite verses says, let the peace of God lead and guide you. And the word means let it umpire your life. Peace will lead you. And when your peace, what they said, when your peace lifts, when there's something that has destroyed your peace, it's time to stand still. Well, that's sort of what happened right here. His peace lifted and his spirit was provoked. He knew something's wrong in this city. And he began to get a little bit more aware of his surroundings. This city had 30,000 statues or altars to different gods. They were extremely religious. So when Paul says, I have gathered that you're deeply religious, that was not a compliment. When people tell me, well, I see that you're a religious man, I always tell them, no, I am not. I'm not trying to be religious. I love Jesus, and I'm in a relationship with him. See, religion is man reaching out to God, but God reaches down to us. God is drawing us by his Holy Spirit. That's what we long for. It says, Athens was the intellectual capital of mankind. It's probably the city that I would have lived in, obviously. It was full of art, literature, and philosophy, the native home of Socrates and Plato, and the people loved to debate philosophy. He was in Areopagus, which is a hill. And so if you have an old King James, it will say Mars Hill. So oftentimes you will hear this sermon when Paul was on Mars Hill and debated with the great philosophers of that time. On Mars Hill was one of the greatest architectural buildings of which we know about, because there's a similar building built in likeness in Nashville, Tennessee, called the Parthenon. And it was dedicated to the sex goddess Athena. And so they would meet there and they would have their great debates. So it was not, man, I am hot in here. I'm telling you, it's stuffy. I don't know if that air conditioner works, but if it does, let's get some of it going. So anyway, they would meet and discuss different things, and Paul was there and he was called upon, and we'll talk about that later, but he was talking about idolatry. And so that's what we want to talk about today, standing for God in a world full of idolatry. I want to bring a bit of a comparison with Paul's life when he entered into this city and with Lot's life when he went into Sodom. And see, I think it's a great parallel that we can examine our hearts with today. If you do not believe that our society is eaten up with idols, you're not very aware. Now, we are not making graven images pretty much, but we're full of idols in the land. Sinners don't concern me with what they're doing. Christians concern me. And it's easy to fool yourself and think that Jesus is the king of my heart. And in truth, you've replaced him with something else. So I ask you to be very aware today and let the Holy Spirit just check you a little bit to see who really is on the throne of your heart today. And so Tim Keller writes about idolatry. He says, if anything is more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything that you seek to give, to give you what only God can give, that's an idol. Adrian Rogers says this, it's anything we love more, fear more, or serve more than God is an idol. Can I read that? I love the simplicity of that. Let me read it one more time. Anything that we love more, fear more, or serve more than God is an idol. When Paul came to this city, he knew he had to address this. He knew, I have to talk about this. When Lot went to Sodom, we don't know what his attitude was, but he was consumed with the city. And later on, we find that he's meeting at the gate, which means he was sort of a keeper of the city, a prominent man in the city. And so he got pulled into the city. Paul was standing back. Does this make sense? Lot was sucked in. Paul was standing back saying, this is wrong, right? I want to bring to you something different. The Bible says in Peter that righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed. The word vexed means poisoned. the righteous man Lot, his soul was poisoned because of the manner of living that he was living in. Folks, listen to me. Satan wants nothing more than to poison your soul by where we live, by the watching the news and getting involved and just, it's a wicked world, right? It's a wicked world, but we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are to be the light of this world. What is so wrong with idolatry? The first thing is it breaks the first two commandments, right? Then Exodus 20 said, you shall have no other gods before me. And then the second commandment is you shall not make a carved image and bow down to serve them. But Jesus said, when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He said that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And right? Nothing. He has to be number one. Anything that, if you try to combine Jesus with anything else in this world, it's a perversion of the gospel. It'll take you straight to hell. You hear me? It's Jesus and Jesus only. We don't really like that much. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. Covetousness. Oh, America teases its children with covetousness. But the Bible goes on and says, which is idolatry. Covetousness, wanting what someone else has, is the sin of idolatry. I didn't say it. He said it. Right? It's the word of God. And yet we find ourselves living in this life, comparing ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says we'll become a fool. I see how God has blessed you and I think, why is God not blessing me that way? I want to drive that car. I want that kind of house. I want. When will we ever get satisfied and say, the only thing I really want is you? We live in a land of idolatry. I try to think about some, and so I'm going to give you just a few, just so we'll get on the same page. And you know what number one is. Money. Things. Materialism. Our world is eat up with it. And if we're not careful, it will capture your heart. It's slick. It'll get you if you're not careful. Matthew 6:24, the Bible calls that mammon. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. He's either going to hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. This is Jesus speaking. And he says this, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and materialism. You cannot serve God and money. Bless the Lord. Thought you might get excited about that. Do you know that there are people who make their living with idolatry? This will blow your mind. You know it. Every one of us know it. But it's just interesting to think about how wicked our world is. There are people that will capture young girls and boys and sell them into the sex slave traffic. The drug dealer on the street knows that drugs kill. But why do they sell drugs? Because of money. Many times because they have a habit themselves. There are people that promote gambling when they know that it forms an addiction. Our government endorses gambling in most states. Most people will call the lottery the idiot tax. You have a better chance of being struck by lightning than you do of winning the lottery. But I will be selling tickets after. No. If you want to give your money away, you come on. Pornographers. They know there's nothing good with that. And yet, why are they doing it? Money. Money. Liquor industry. Many others. Now let's think about maybe a couple of other things that can promote in our heart. Status. Possibly your job, which goes to your ego. Physical appearance. Don't worship me because I'm good looking. You know, I'm a firm believer in working out and exercise. I think we should all. But you know, there are some people that make it a god, right? They begin to worship their body. I have seen people, and it scares me when I see a man or a woman begin to get too much into that. When they begin to focus their entire, everything about them, about working out and looking good, I'm thinking adultery is around the corner. And I can't tell you how many times I've been right. Entertainment. Is there anything wrong with entertainment? No. There's nothing wrong with money. As long as you keep it in its proper space, right? Money is a tool. Most of these things God has blessed us with. But can it capture you? And it can. Something as simple as football. Golf. Am I getting too close? Baseball. Okay, I'll say it. Comfort, oftentimes. This has become a god in America. We visit this a whole lot more than we do this. And you say, now, Pastor, I got my Bible on my phone. Oh, get out of here. I do too. But I'm just telling you, you know, there's a setting on your phone that you can actually go into and see how much you look at it during the day. I just found that out this week. And I'm not looking. Children. Children can become your god. They don't make a good god. Children are from the Lord. They're a gift from God, right? And yet sometimes we get our priorities off. Influence, fame, and religion. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23, I want to read this, and I want you to catch the first four words. Yes, they knew God. That scares me. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God. I'm telling you, as I read this scripture, if I studied this on Mars Hill, I thought, this is America. We are the land of idolatry. The land that was created as a place where people would have a freedom of worship. God smiled upon America and put His blessing upon America, and we have turned it. Amen. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools. I'm reading now the NLT. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols, made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful thing their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with their bodies. Verse 25, they traded the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. We studied in Sunday school today about when God sent His angels to Sodom. And, you know, some of the subjects that we talk about with these young kids is a bit difficult. And I said, you know, God gave us sex. God made you to be a sexual person. Sex is good. Sex is a blessing of God. And it's not just for procreation, it's for enjoyment. But outside of the confines of what God says, it's a great area where Satan can get and turn your head. Does that make sense? He can make you worship the act rather than the God-giver, right? You have to keep your mind in check and your body in check so that God remains Lord. Amen. So Paul goes to Mars Hill and he saw this altar to the unknown God. It specifically talks about a couple of different types of people, cultures that was there. The Epicureans, they were about 300 years before Christ. So this was a philosophy that had taken hold. Their philosophy was to eat, drink, and be merry. The wisest thing in all the earth is pleasure. Don't you know, people? I mean, the spirit of the Epicureans is still large today in our world. Does this make sense to you? No one goes to you and says, hello, my name's Joe. I'm an Epicurean. Right? But their life shows that they're all about pleasure. Right? I'm just doing everything I can. Why? Because I don't believe that God exists. They didn't believe in absolute truth. Folks, there is an absolute truth. And we hold it in our hands. This is truth. What God says is truth, not what you think. The second one was the Stoic philosophy. It was a form of intellectual pride. And they believed that we really don't have a choice on anything because God decides everything. We would say today, God is sovereign. You have no action. What God decides, you're just going to get swept into it, right? Folks, that's nonsense. Is God sovereign? Absolutely. But do you have choice? Absolutely. It's a balance. We have to keep it in balance. I'm thankful that God is sovereign. I'm thankful that He is in control. Because on my worst day and on my best day, He's still on the throne, right? So obviously these people were polytheistic. They believed in multiple gods. I was out on the street witnessing one day, and this lady told me she was polytheistic. And I thought, well, I don't even know what that is. And she said, she followed it up and she said, I believe in many gods. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to get interesting in a hurry. And I said, you were with me. Yeah, I stumbling all over myself. Yeah, I fell up the steps. I think I fell down the steps. I'm not sure. She had me so confused. And but I thought, well, we're just here to talk to you about one, the one true God, and that's Jesus. And she did allow us to pray. I asked her, I said, can we pray for you? And I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And she said, sure. What was she doing? I'll take a little of that. It was a smorgasbord for her. I'll take a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little. And I find that that's a lot of Christian people that we're just adding, you know, will you accept Jesus? I'll add him to my list. No, we don't add Jesus to our list. He is number one and there are no others, right? No one compares to Christ. There's one Lord. Hallelujah. When I read this, I couldn't help but get a little insulted. When they called Paul a babbler, I felt my spirit inside of me think, I'd slap you if I could. It's like, don't insult the man of God. I'm not joking. It got to me. How dare you call the man of God a babbler just because you don't understand? I'm thankful that he did not get upset. A babbler is someone who picks up the scraps. Later it was considered that it was someone who spreads bits and pieces of misinformation. Paul reached and preached to them, the one who you worship without knowing. I want to talk about this altar right here to the unknown God. You're worshiping a God you don't know to cover your bases. But I know the God here. I know the one that you don't know. And I want to tell you today for just the next few minutes who this God is. Many people criticize Paul in this passage of scripture. Many commentaries will say he did not, normally when Paul would talk to people, he would include a lot of scriptures and he would go back and tell the whole history of Israel. But these were not Jews. These were Greeks. And he did not talk to them. He actually used some of their poets and he quoted them. But here's what I get from that. There'll always be a critic in your life. Amen. And sometimes it will be you. So what you need to do is just realize I'm doing my best and I'm saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Right? Will I blow it occasionally? Yeah. Did I get it right with that girl that I fell up her steps? You know, people fall down the steps, but I fell up the steps. I didn't get it right there, but I was there. And I tried. I opened my mouth for the Holy Ghost. Is this making sense to you? Don't get under condemnation. Don't let the devil do that to you. He's going to tell you, you sounded like an idiot. Right? You're going to say something at work and try to witness to somebody, and he's going to say, they ain't listening to you. They have no respect for you. They think you're a babbler. Don't listen to that. You just know that song, I say yes, send me, right? That's the conquest to me. Will you go when he says go? Will you speak when he says speak? And then leave. See, all I can do is be obedient to the Lord. The outcome is his. But I find that many times we try to make the outcome. We try to say, well, this should happen and that should happen. No, stop it. You're just going to frustrate yourself. Just say yes to the Holy Ghost. If he tells you to speak, you get on that elevator and the Lord says, tell him I love him. You say, Jesus, they're going to think I'm an idiot. Yeah, probably. Just be obedient. You know, I knew a story one time, a very, very dear friend of ours who was not serving Jesus. He was in college and he prayed with this guy or he didn't pray for salvation, but he told this guy, he said, you know, if this thing is real, if God is real, would you pray with me that somebody tomorrow will come up and say that Jesus loves me? And he went all day the next day and it never happened. And he was disappointed. Towards the end of the day, a girl came up and spoke to him in Spanish. And he said, what does that mean? She said, it means Jesus loves you. You think he got saved? Yes. You think he's saved today? You think he's been in this pulpit to speak to you? It's not me. He's much brighter than me. He's been here and he spoke. Do you see how much God cares? You know, the Bible says at the end that a couple of people got saved. I'm sure that Paul was a bit disappointed. He was used to the masses getting saved. It didn't happen there. But seed was planted. Seed was planted. We don't know the end of the story. We just know a couple of people got saved. But Paul was obedient. Will you be obedient? Right? That's what God is calling us for, is to be obedient. I find that Paul basically preached three things to them. Number one, he preached that God is the God of creative power and made this universe, and he's distinct from his creation. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. He's the creator God. Number two, that God is a God of infinite love, that he created man. I love verse 26 and verse 27. You know, sometimes we have these debates in the kingdom about predestination. I believe this sort of points to a type of predestination. You know, God had you born. How many of you think that you should have been born 100 years ago or at a different time? Anybody? Yeah, well, you're wrong. You're wrong. God had you born in exactly the time that he wanted you born, and he put you in the exact place that he wanted you placed in. Why? So you have the greatest chance of finding him where you were born in the day and the hour and the time and the place. That's predestination. God says, he's going to find me right here. I'm going to put him here. That's what the word says. We're born, we're all from one race. I don't care what color your skin is. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Amen. God predetermined us. Isn't that wonderful? He says in verse 27, so that we would seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him. Every one of us should be groping to find Jesus. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about groping to find Jesus and who he is and what he wants to do in your life. Amen. It makes me think to myself, am I still groping to know him? Or have I become satisfied? The church world, in my opinion, seems to get satisfied too quickly. Are you still hungry to know him? If you think you know everything about him, you're a fool. There's not a human being alive that ever will know everything. Amen. The more you know him, the more you realize, I don't know him. Amen. He's better than we can ever imagine. He's infinite in his love and wisdom. Number three, that God is the God of supernatural salvation. Aren't you thankful? Why? Because of the resurrected Messiah. Amen. See, I believe that they could go with him when he started talking about the God, the creator of the universe. But when he talked about this man, Jesus, who was the Messiah, came and lived among us and died, and God brought him out of the grave, they said, that's a fairy tale. Can't go with you, Paul. That's ridiculous. And that's where the world loses us too many times. But don't quit preaching it. You hear me? Don't quit preaching the resurrection of Jesus. That's the power of God. Because he lives, we live also. There's something really good here. The things that Paul preached is still true today. That the gospel has the power to change lives. But the word says, Paul, we'll hear you again on this matter. The biggest trick of the enemy. There are many people that will delay their salvation until they enter hell. It's a trick of the enemy. You don't need to make that decision today. You have plenty of time. Just live your life. Just do what you think is important. And you're going to find yourself in a place that you don't want to be. Amen. Don't let Satan help you to hell. See, there's only two places. Every one of us are designed to live forever. And you will. Either in heaven or hell. Amen. And the Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Amen. It's the easy way. It's the way of no decision. Well, I don't have to make up my mind today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you knew what wonderful things that he had for you designed in your future, you would say today, Yes, Jesus. I bow my knee, I bow my heart to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The troubling part of this scripture, in my opinion, is that we can be born again and Satan will divert our hearts to other things. And so I come to you today not thinking that you are serving some little idol. I don't think that when you get home, you have a carving on your dinner table and you're going to walk in the house and say, I worship you. But I think many of us, if we're not careful, we can have an idol in our heart. Something that's more important than God. And for some of us, it may be us. It may be my comfort. I just want things, or I just want to enjoy life. The greatest joy in life is serving Jesus. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you today if someone else is on the throne of your heart. You know what happens when Jesus is replaced by something else? You become religious. You become religious. And lots of things go with that. The Lord says, I want a relationship with you. John chapter 15, he says, I want to dwell with you. In other words, I want a tabernacle with you. Not one time, every day of your life, he wants you to go into the secret place where he is at and where he can reveal your heart to you. We can fool ourselves. You know that, right? We can fool ourselves and we can fool others, but you can't fool God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And if you will pray a very brave prayer and you'll say something like this, God, will you reveal my heart to me? It's a brave prayer and the Lord will do it. And if there's something else that has slipped in and become a priority to you more than Christ, he will give you the opportunity to repent. It's a wonderful opportunity to say, Jesus, I had no idea that money was taking the place of God. I had no idea that I was being driven by recreation. But Lord, thank you for revealing that to me. I repent of that right now. And I thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn me, but Lord, that you'll forgive me when I confess this. So I confess it to you and I ask you, Lord, come back, be king and ruler of my heart. Amen. Would you stand with me? If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, that's where we all start, by confessing that he is the resurrected Lord. And you need to do that. You need to accept Christ. So with every head raised and every eye opened, are you looking at me? If you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer to accept Christ, you know, it's going to take boldness, guys. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take some courage to live this thing out. So why don't we just start on the right path? If you'll just raise your hand, we want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Anyone here, they would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to come into knowledge. See your hand, my brother. Amen. Amen. We see those hands. Amen. So the Bible says that we confess that the Lord Jesus is Lord, right? So we'll pray for our brother. I think there may have been another one. We say, Father, we bring our brother before you. Now, brother, you need to confess this with your own lips. It's not my prayer. It has to be your prayer. Father, I recognize I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I ask that you would be supreme in my heart, that you would live large in me. And Lord, I desire to serve you all the days of my life as I come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now to the rest of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I made him be bold. I'm going to let you be cowardly because I know human nature. And in truth, probably too many hands to count if we were really honest. But I'm going to ask you to let the Holy Spirit show you the condition of your heart. And if you need to do some repenting, that's a wonderful thing. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about us. Father, that you still want us to grope for you and to find you and to know you. Satan is so slick. He's got a tool bag full of dirty tricks to divert our attention. And Father, it's possible today that money, the mammon, the materialistic things has become our God. And Father, it makes a terrible God. And Lord, it could be many other things that we mentioned. But Lord, as the Holy Spirit is showing us our heart, Father, we want to take this time and just repent and ask you to be Lord and Savior and King of Kings over our heart. Father, you are our priority. Lord, you says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto us. Father, the mandate is to seek you with all of our heart, not to seek other things. And Lord, it's so easy to start seeking the other things because we need some of that. But Lord, we don't need it nearly as much as we need you. So let trust come into our heart that if we seek you, you'll give us everything else that we need. You are the good shepherd. So Father, we repent. I bind Satan from condemning us. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, let the freedom of Christ rule in this place and rule in their heart. Father, let them feel your love, not Satan's condemnation or judgment. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now, as we maybe switch some of our priorities around, help us to keep you on the throne of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Brother Denny, would you come?
Man, we got a new brother today. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. That's great. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. So we rejoice with heaven. So I didn't get to see who that was. So whoever you are, if you look around, everybody you see is your brother and your sister now. And, just as a heads up, I'm a bit of a hugger. So if you're not that way, then you don't want to hang out with this brother. Anyway, don't forget all the... I know we have had a lot of announcements this morning because a lot going on this month, so be sure to check the app for the calendar and all that kind of stuff. One final announcement. As you remember, as we get bigger and bigger, we kind of have to remember, if you have kids that are in children's church or nursery in the other building, you could kind of be prompt about checking them back out at the end of service. We don't want your kids to end up in the lost and found, and then anybody can take them. So, please, because, in the old days, they would just bring your kids to you, but we can't do that anymore because of all that checkout stuff. So just be mindful of that. And did you have something?
Yeah, I'd like to just remind everybody what today is, December 7th, 1941, that you got freedom because of those men that
That's a good... reminder. Thank you for that. Yes. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.